for coming and talking to us. It's good to see you face to face. I have a couple questions. You know, it wouldn't be me if I wasn't a little contrary. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go off the subject just a little bit and ask you about two issues. And one is, I promised one of your constituents I would ask this, was your vote on the Patriot Act and why you voted on it. I'd like to go into a little detail as to what that was about. And the second one is if you will support, and I'm not sure I understand this correctly, but I believe it's Steve King's immigration law, which directly ties into some of our financial issues that we're having, particularly here in Maryland.
Yeah, let me deal with the second one first. Steve King, Congressman King from Iowa, his immigration law, I take it as the 14th Amendment clarification. Yeah, I'm a co-sponsor of that bill.
Okay.
That basically says that you can't use the 14th Amendment as the reason to grant automatic citizenship to the child of someone who's here illegally, automatically making them a U.S. citizen. I don't think that's what the 14th Amendment is written for, and I don't think that's good policy. We are among the only country, if not the only country in the world, that actually has that policy, and it's through an interpretation of the 14th Amendment. So I'll dispense with that. Illegal immigration is a problem because it is a tremendous drain on our economy right now. We don't have enough jobs to go around, much less to have illegal immigrants take a lot of those jobs. That being said, legal immigration and temporary work visas are important because we do have industries that depend on them, but not illegal. Let me go back to the first one. It's complicated because, you know, the claim was that I voted for the Patriot Act. Actually, there were three provisions of the Patriot Act that were up for extension. What the last Congress did is instead of deal with the Patriot Act in its entirety, they let three provisions expire. The three provisions were what's called the lone wolf provision, the library provision, and
roving wiretaps.
And the roving wiretap provision. So those are the three provisions. Roving wiretaps is merely a way. In the old days, when you went for a wiretap, what you did is you identified the phone number, and we all know because we had one phone in our house, and it was hardwired to the phone company. You went for that phone, and you said, "Well, I want to wiretap John Smith, and he's at 555-1212." Well, that's fine in the old days, but nowadays John Smith knows you got a wiretap on that line. He goes to the Walmart, buys a $20 Go phone, and he's in business with no wiretap. In fact, you think you're listening to what he says, and they can actually mislead you on the other phone while he's working on a Go phone. So what it says is that no, what you do is you don't wiretap a specific hard line, you wiretap an individual. So if that individual goes and buys a Go phone, you can tap that phone. That's just the reality of the modern world. So I kind of support the idea that if you go to a judge, and these require, you have to go before a judge, you get a wiretap, it should be for an individual, not for a piece of equipment. Because in this day and age, you throw that away. Worse than that, you don't throw it away. It actually makes some misleading phone calls while you're making calls on another line. The second one is called the library provision, which was, so that's one provision, and these were all going to expire February 28th. So what the last Congress did is just said, you know, we're not going to deal with it. We'll just kick the can down the road a little bit. You deal with it when you come in. Now, we come in January 5th. By February 28th, we have to make major decisions on these policies, and the President wants three-year extensions of these, by the way. So the first one is the roving wiretap. I'm okay with that. Second one is library provision, that the federal government can go and look at library and bookstore purchase records and try to divine what someone's thinking and whether or not they're going to be a terrorist. Well, I got a problem with that. You know, and they said, well, yeah, but what if you're taking books out from the library that you know, are terrorist, can lead terrorist activity? Well, don't put them in a library. I mean, it's very simple. If you think it's so dangerous, don't put it in a library. But if you're going to put it in a library, and I'm going to use a public library, I don't want to be investigated because of some book I borrowed at a public library. I actually voted against that in the continuing resolution that came up in the budget, where we actually specifically struck funding for that provision.
Does it extend to books you order online?
Yes. Yeah, it's very scary. It's very scary. I don't agree with that one. The third one was the lone wolf provision, which is probably the one that I have a problem with, because what it says is that the government, whether the Patriot Act's written, if you are a known member or affiliate of a terrorist organization, then that is justification for investigation. The lone wolf provision says, well, you know, some people aren't officially affiliated; they're acting on their own. And we want the authority to investigate them. Well, I got a problem with that because, you know, I'm an individual citizen. Some federal agent says, well, you know, Andy Harris is some subversive. He's not affiliated with anybody, but we think he's danger. Well, they investigate him. I got a little bit of a problem with that. You want to investigate someone, a known affiliate of a terrorist organization? Okay, go at it. But I have a problem with the lone wolf provision. The way the bill was presented, we had to do it by January, by February 28th. All three provisions were bundled together. It was yes or no, and what I disagreed, I would not have never given a three-year extension. What we did is we extended it actually for 90 days. That's all we did. Well, I thought we should do it till the end of the year, give our committees a chance to look through the entire Patriot Act, which would be up for renewal, not just three provisions, the entire Patriot Act, and then deal with it in the way that Congress ought to deal with something. Have hearings, hear all sides, and comprehensively look at it where we're allowed to go in and amend various sections. So I voted for an extension of it because I think that two of those three, one of the three provisions, the roving wiretap is very important, and we didn't have the option to vote on it separately. So I voted to extend all three for 3 months. The final vote was to extend them for 3 months, and then of course we're going to hold hearings on the entire bill. So the Patriot Act is very complicated. There are parts I agree with, and there are parts I disagree with, and I hope the legislative process works properly, where we take, because we already had the opinion of the House, the library clause, for instance, where we investigate someone because of the library books they borrow, where the sense of the House, we already had a majority of members say, no, we don't want that provision.
Is the whole thing like this, though, where there's different timetables for different provisions all the time?
That's the way the last Congress dealt with it. And it's the ultimate way to kick the can down the road. Is just never let it come up all at once, so that you have to deal with the issue. Because what you do is, for instance, what would have happened if the president had his way and we extended it 3 years, then a whole bunch of provisions would expire for 3 years, but another bunch of provisions would expire at the end of this year. So you'd never have a comprehensive view, because they're afraid of a comment. Look, I know why they're afraid of a comprehensive review, because they're a group of people who say, you got to look through this, and we want proof that these provisions are working, and if they're not, we probably should eliminate them.